Would you stand with me and we'll read together our scripture from John chapter 3, and we will begin our reading with verse 16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation: the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Shall we pray? Father, we pray this morning that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will quicken us as we meditate upon your precious word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'd like to just take a very few moments this morning to speak briefly from this well-known passage of Scripture, highlighting the first verse and the second verse, where it says that Nicodemus came to Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. I was very happy that we sang a number of songs and choruses about coming to Jesus. One of them said, I will arise and go to Jesus. I will arise and go to Jesus. And that's basically what I would like to point out this morning in these scriptures about arising and going to Jesus. Because when we meet Jesus as Nicodemus met Jesus, that's where everything begins. It's an experience. It's a change. It's a new birth. It's being born from above. One of the sick said, I will arise and go to Jesus. And Jesus met and healed all who came to him. I will arise and go to Jesus. You know, in the last year or so, we've had a number of babies that were born. That's a very good, healthy sign in the congregation to have babies crying and disrupting the service and drowning out the preacher. And we're very thankful and not bothered at all, really, to have these children that have been born. And for you young couples who are recently married or have been married for a while, pray God's blessing on you that God will give you many children. May your quiver be full of children. And at my wedding, my father ended the blessing on us when we got married by saying, at the end of every year, may you have a boy or a girl. We're thankful for the three children that were born into our family and all these children that were born. And birth is an event. Nothing would be evident in our lives as mature adults unless, first of all, we had the experience of being born. And when that baby takes its first breath, the potential that's in that life is for something wonderful, naturally. Maybe a doctor, maybe a carpenter, maybe an engineer, a mom or a dad. But everything's wrapped up in that child that's born. And so it was with Jesus. Jesus left heaven and he came to earth. And as a baby, he was helpless. He had to grow and increase in stature, wisdom with God and man. But in his birth was everything. But we must come to Jesus. I will arise, the song says, and go to Jesus. A step of faith, an action to go to him. Sometimes we pride ourselves in our going to Jesus, how we made a big effort, and we forget that Jesus and God reached down from heaven and came so close to us that our coming to Jesus was turning around and touching him. I love that painting where in creation, there in one of the churches in Rome, God's hand is reaching out. Man's hand is reaching out, and you've seen it, haven't you? The fingers are almost touching in that act of creation. And to me, I'm remembering that God gave his Son. God went all the way, and God came for us. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He was a man. The story of Nicodemus was not a parable. This was a real live event that happened here in Jerusalem, where this ruler, part of the Pharisees, in the nighttime, came to Jesus. And some people fault him because he came at night, because they say, or we have said as preachers, he was maybe afraid to come in the daytime. I don't think that's the main point. The main point is he did come to Jesus, even though it was night, maybe the night of doubt, the night of wondering, is Jesus the Messiah? Is he the Christ? Is he the one that we've been waiting for? So in that dark hour, he came to Jesus, and he met with Jesus. In the song that we sang, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I was thinking while we're singing it about Jesus embracing us, could it be, and I think maybe it could have been, that Jesus, at the end of that discussion, reached out and embraced Nicodemus. He touched him. I'd like to think that he did. Because later on, we find that Nicodemus in the New Testament, he stood up for Jesus. Probably wasn't an easy thing for him to do, to stand there in that council of rulers and Pharisees and say, can we condemn this man without the proper procedure, the proper judgment? Can you condemn him without hearing what he has to say? And then later on, Nicodemus came to the cross. He was there at the death of Jesus. And finally, he moved from that darkness of doubt and wondering to among his peers confessing. I'm sure they began to understand that Nicodemus had thoughts that Jesus was the Messiah until he came to the open confession by being at the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's so important for us to come to Jesus, even though God has come all the way to us, for God sent his Son near to us. And our coming to Jesus is a matter of turning, a matter of repentance, a matter of acceptance. But the new birth is an experience. Nothing would have happened in our spiritual life unless, first of all, we had experienced this life from above, where we knew and testified, I have been born again. Jesus Christ, his blood has cleansed away all my sin. I don't know how it is with you, but I love to hear people's testimonies. I maybe have heard hundreds of people testify of how they were saved. And I listen closely for that point. And they give all of the history of how God worked in their life. But they come to a place where they say, and it was on this night, or it was in this week, or it was in this time period where Jesus became real to my heart and I was born again. They took that breath that every mother waits for when the child is born and the stillness is in the operating room. The mother and the father waiting for that child to gasp its first breath and make that horrible cry, but for the mother's ear, a wonderful cry, the child is alive. When we're born again, we come into the new life with Jesus Christ. So Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And then it goes on to say that Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There's a famous woman evangelist and also pastor. Her name was Amy Simple McPherson. How many of you have ever heard of her or read of her book? Looking for Christine. Christine is reading her book now for the second time. A woman that God used. And she founded the denomination that's called the Four Square Church. And her theme was the Four Square Gospel. In fact, I saw a picture of her preaching, don't know what to call it, robe or outfit. And on it she had a square. And each corner had, one corner was the new birth. The other corner was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The other was divine healing. And the last was Jesus coming again. And so she hammered, and many of the preachers that followed in her steps hammered the four square gospel, which is the essence of the gospel to us. Pastor Chuck was saying to us yesterday that he was so relieved or blessed that he could... At night, during these hot nights, you've been hot during these nights, feel the breeze blow through his bedroom. Open the door and let that wind blow through the bedroom. Last night I was sitting out in our garden and just enjoying, we live in Mevaseret, just enjoying that fresh breeze that comes up over the Judean hills from the Mediterranean Sea. It hadn't been that way all summer. Been hot and been dry. We knew the wind was coming, that the weather was going to change. All of us knew that. But somehow, in the hot days, we forget it, don't we? That there's a wind going to come. And I think of the wind that was in the upper room, that all of a sudden, it says, that the wind began to blow in the upper room, and the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. The experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit and the ongoing work of salvation after we have experienced salvation and after we've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible clearly says to us that there is an experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we thank God for that. We don't want to make an issue of tongues. I have a good Baptist friend who he likes to tease me because I'm a Pentecostal. And I one day put my hand on his shoulder and I said, I almost said his name. I said to him, I said, Brother, I speak in tongues more than you all. And he had a little laugh about it. But I was trying to bring about a balance between he and I in our discussion, that the issue is not speaking in tongues. The issue is that Nicodemus came to Jesus. The issue in the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that we're coming to Jesus. And his work and his grace is operative in our lives. Many years ago, and I've said this before, but I would like to repeat it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an advanced step into the knowledge of God, whereby Jesus becomes more real to the soul. An advanced step, not the step, but an advanced step into the knowledge of God. I think the end of that song also mentioned that there were, by coming to Jesus, I can't remember the phrase, 10,000 charms. And that 10,000 charms means to us that in God, His blessings are unlimited. Throughout eternity, God's, the knowledge of God and Jesus is going to be more real to us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an advanced step into the knowledge of God, into the knowledge of God, knowing God, whereby Jesus Christ becomes more real to the soul. So the baptism as well, and the blowing of the Holy Spirit is an experience that doesn't stop there, but it has an ongoing part to it where we are continually seeking God to be filled and to be possessed with the Holy Spirit. Thank God that He doesn't give up on us, we know that, but also we should not give up in coming to Jesus. Coming to Him because we have need of Him, coming to Him because He is able to satisfy the longing that is in our hearts. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and I believe through his life and also through our lives, there was a continuing coming to Jesus. The third experience in the four-square gospel is healing, divine healing. It talks about physical healing, but I want to talk about spiritual healing, or a Bible word is sanctification. It says here in verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Sanctification, cleansing of the heart, an experience of sanctification. It's a big theological question. It's been debated by theologians for many, many years or centuries, I don't know how long. Instantaneous sanctification, progressive sanctification. Everything that we have of God is in that experience of the new birth. God has given us everything that pertaineth to righteousness and salvation in the new birth. And as we step out and grow in God, God shows us in our own nature that there needs to be changes. And He's promised to us to begin a work of sanctification, a setting apart for God's use and a setting apart from the world. And the scripture says here that he who comes to the light, the darkness is taken away. So we need to allow in our walk with God, and I believe that we are, I'm not saying that we're not, but we need to keep coming to Jesus for this cleansing work of the blood of Jesus and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Many mistakes have been made in the past by people making a list of do's and don'ts. There are things in the Bible that are very clear that God doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to murder. Doesn't want us to hate. He doesn't want us to commit adultery. It's sin to have lust in our hearts, to steal, to rob. There are other areas where it seems maybe it's questionable. But I believe if we step in the light with Jesus, God has given us a conscience, and we need to be tender. We need to be responsive to when God says, "I don't want you to say that. I don't want you to go there." And sometimes in our hurried, busy life, we drowned out that conviction of the Holy Spirit. But as the experience of sanctification has begun in our life, we also want it to be ongoing in our life. And then the fourth thing is Jesus is coming soon. How many of you can say amen to that?